all the commandments of the New Testament. And the more I thought and prayed about it, I thought, you know, this is a good study. Because the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I would say we therefore have a responsibility to know what they are. Amen? If we're told to keep his commandments, what are they? Now, is Jesus here referring to the Ten Commandments of Exodus chapter 20? He's not. We know that those were nailed to the cross. But what we're going to find is all of those Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament, which makes them Jesus' commandments, except, of course, for number 4, which we'll get to. But it's not talking about Exodus chapter 20. He's talking about his commandments that he gave while he was on earth. And then, of course, he gave through his disciples, Peter and Paul and James, who wrote the rest of the New Testament. Those are also commandments that we must follow. So what we're going to study, and it'll take us a little while. I have no idea how long. We're going to look at all the commandments of the New Testament as the order as they come up. So we'll start in Matthew, just work our way through. Each time one comes up, then we'll just study that one and look at all the verses about that one. Rather than just keep hitting the same one over and over, we're just going to focus on that. I don't know how many there's going to be. I don't have a clue. My gut tells me around 100, but we'll see. What does your gut tell you? I don't know. I looked up to see if other people have done a similar study. I haven't found an exact type of study. One guy said there's about 1,000 commandments in the New Testament, but when I looked at it, that's all of them. But that, you know, when you group them together, the same commandment appears multiple times in the New Testament. I see that as one commandment, which is as you'll see. So, interesting study. Look at John 15, verse 10, just to lay some groundwork, that we have a responsibility as God's children to obey the commandments of our Lord. Jesus says that is how we say we love him. That means we therefore also have a responsibility to know what they are, because we're going to be held accountable. Amen? So who would read John 15, 10 and 14? These are all introductory verses. Anybody? John 15, 10. Thank you, Beryl. So this, as you can see, is important. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Let's look at another interesting passage, Luke chapter 17. And verses 5 through 10. I preached on this a few months ago, but the disciples came to Jesus Christ and they said, Lord, here in verse 5, increase our faith. And then Jesus told a parable about a servant and his master. And he said that when the servant comes in from plowing, verse 7, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready therewith, and I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. That means I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. Now, this is our Savior speaking. He says, if we've done everything that's been commanded of us, no, that's not going to get us a pat on the back. That's our duty. It's our duty to obey the Lord's commandments because we are His servants and He is our master. So we don't obey the commandments to get a pat on the back, do we? Or to try to earn something. We obey the commandments because we love Jesus and we want to please him. That's why he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we'll look at one more verse, 1 John 5:3, as introduction. And then we're going to dive in Matthew and start looking at the actual commandments of the Lord. So who would read 1 John 5:3? This kind of seals it up about the commandments. Mr. Scott?
Well, this is the love of God, that we keep our commandments. And his commandments are not grievous.
This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You know, people want the love of God to be something else. Maybe a feeling in their hearts. Maybe you know, dance around in church and say, oh, I love God so much. Jesus said, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So how do we say I love you to the Lord? Through obedience. So that's what we're going to be studying. Obedience to what? His commandments. So let's understand what they are and make sure we know what they are, and then we know what we need to obey and follow to say I love you to Jesus. Amen. So we'll pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to begin a new study on your commandments. I pray it'll be a sweet time. I pray you'll use it in our hearts to teach and grow us. Lord, that we would strive to be obedient, to do our duty, to say I love you through obedience. And I pray, Lord, that we'll all learn something, and I believe we will, as we walk through these in the New Testament. So guide us in your truth, and be glorified in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's start in Matthew chapter 4. We're just going to do them in the order that they show up in the New Testament. So that, of course, means Matthew comes first. And chapter 4 is where we begin. Verse 19, who would read that? Commandment number 1. You only have to read the first two words, Beryl. Follow me. There's the first commandment. So is that surprising that that's the first one? Follow me. So Jesus says to follow him. And what does that mean? Well, let's now look at some other scriptures to understand it. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 38. And we'll just do these in scriptural order and get a good understanding of what that means to follow Jesus. You hear people say, I'm a Christian. What does that word Christian mean? It means a Christ follower. Another word is disciple. It means to follow Christ. So who would read Matthew 10:38? Somebody else turn to Matthew 16:24. Jackie?
He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy
of me. So he says part of following Jesus is taking up his cross. Now who would read Matthew 16:24? Matthew 16:24, Mr. Scott.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
There it is again. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So you're also going to see over and over. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Somebody turn there. Somebody else go to Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. So this is Jesus' commandment to follow me, to follow in his steps. Who would read Mark 8:34? Let's have these ready to go. Come on. Mark 8:34. Philip, thank you. Amen. And in Mark 10:29 and 30, who would read those two? Brad.
Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life.
So Jesus says that we are to leave other things, in other words, to put other things behind him. And then Luke 9:23 next, and then somebody else, Luke 14:26 and 27, where Jesus defines discipleship. So who would read Luke 9:23? Mr. Scott.
And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
How often are we supposed to take up our cross? Daily. That's what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. In other words, I crucify self daily. Okay, and then Luke 14:26 and 27. Jackie?
If any man come to me and take not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
So Jesus is defining discipleship and saying that we must love him more than anything else. that in comparison we're hating everything else. That's how much we're to love Christ. And then Luke 14:33, just a few verses down. Somebody read that one. Mr. Scott? 14:33.
Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that ye have, he cannot be my disciple.
Okay, so that's just Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Are we seeing a theme? Follow me. All right. John now. John chapter 8, verse 12, and John chapter 8, verse 31. Who would read those two for us? Somebody else go to John chapter 10, verse 27. So who would read John 8, 12, and 31? Any volunteers? John 8, 12, and 31. Beth, thank you.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Followeth me. And then John 8, 31, Beth?
Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word,
amen. So he's talking a bit again about discipleship, which is following Christ. Now we're going to talk more about the continuing his word later, but who would read John 10:27? You volunteers? Philip? So his sheep follow him. Now John 12:26. One person and another person, Romans 8:29. And we're seeing a theme here, aren't we? That we are called to be his disciples, which means we follow him. We follow in his steps. We crucify self. Mr. Scott?
If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
So following Christ and serving Christ are synonymous. Okay, Romans 8:29. Jackie?
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
I threw this one in because this is ultimately what God's trying to do, isn't it? It's conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, which means we act like Christ. So to follow Christ means to be like Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 11:1, and somebody else Ephesians 5:1. Just so you can see that it's not just in the Gospels that we are to be followers of Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians 11:1, who would read that? Simple verse. Howard?
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Amen. And then Ephesians 5:1. Not all of them will be this large, by the way, but this is just how it goes. Ephesians 5:1. Brad?
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
And then 1 Peter 2:21. Who would read that? And then there will just be one more, which I will read, which is my favorite. 1 Peter 2:21. Philip? You should follow his steps. There's a command. Follow his steps. Follow Christ. And then we'll finish at 1 John 2:6, which John sums it up for us. So we already saw in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Look at 1 John 2:6, where he kind of wraps this whole thing up about the first commandment, which is follow Christ. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Remember back in the 60s or 70s, somebody came out with a catchphrase, what would Jesus do? I think they even made a movie about it. I don't know, a book. It came from this verse. But it's accurate in that we are to emulate Christ. Amen? It says, walk even as he walked, to follow in his steps, to be like him. And so his first commandment, as they show up in the New Testament, doesn't make it the most important necessarily. It's just the order that they're going to come up. We already know what the most important commandment is, and we're going to get there. But follow Christ. That's the first one. Follow me. Follow me. And there's a lot in there, isn't there? Crucify self. Be his disciple. In other words, copy him. Follow in his steps. Emulate him. Follow Christ. And that is the first commandment that we're given as they appear. So the next one is the rest of the verse, which we'll dive down to Matthew 5:16. And that is, I'll make you fishers of men. Now we know he was specifically at that point talking to his 12 disciples, but in chapter 5, what does he tell us? Who would read chapter 5, verse 16? Matthew?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So we can word this however we want, but shine for Jesus, or witness for Jesus, or be a fisher of men, but it's to essentially share the gospel with the lost. Let your light so shine. Now, Jesus expounded upon it a bit earlier in chapter 5. Look at verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Why would people persecute us for being Christians if they don't even know we're Christians? So they obviously know we're Christians, or they wouldn't persecute us. Well, how are they going to know we're Christians? Because we're going to let our light shine. We're going to tell them. Then he goes on to say in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Why do we put salt on our food? Make it taste better. Right? Jesus says we're the salt of the earth. Then he goes on to say, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. So his second commandment is that we need to shine for Christ, or be a witness for Christ, or be the salt of the world, salt of the earth, or be the light of the world. Pick however you want to word it, but that's our second commandment, is to shine for Jesus. And being a fisher of men is part of that. Then he finishes the book, go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, with what we often refer to as the Great Commission. That word commission means our orders. These are the last things he told us, his disciples and us, before he left the earth and ascended back to heaven, is what we refer to as the Great Commission. To shine for Jesus, to be a witness for Christ. So who would read Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Someone else go to Mark 16, 15 and 16. Beryl? So we're to go, we're to teach, we're to baptize, and then what? Teach them all things. So they get saved, they get baptized, they become part of the church, and we teach them the Word of God. It's called discipleship, teaching them all things. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Somebody read those, and while you're doing that, someone else go to Luke 14, 23. So who would read Mark 16, 15, 16? Howard?
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Amen. Go ye where? Into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 14, 23. Someone else go to Luke 24, 47. Who would read Luke 14, 23? Jackie?
And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
This is part of a parable, but we all know who the servant is in this parable. It's us. And we are commanded to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. All right, Luke 24:47. Who would read that one? This is the commandment to shine for Jesus, to be a witness for Jesus. Beth, thank you. I'm just showing you that the Great Commission is in all four Gospels. So we saw Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24. Now let's look at some in John 4:35 and then John 20:21. So who would read John 4:35? Mr. Scott?
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white.
This is one of Jesus' commandments, amen? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. That's a commandment. For what purpose? To see that they're white into harvest so that we can tell them about Jesus. Luke 20:21, who would read that one? Thank you, Beth. So Jesus said, even so send I you to do what? What he's been telling us to do. He sends us to go. And then probably the key verse of the whole thing is Acts 1:8. Now the reason why this is the key verse, that was John 20:21. So Acts 1:8. The reason this key verse, this is the last commandment that Jesus gave before he went to heaven. That makes it very important. And the last commandment he gave before he went to heaven was about what? But being a witness. So who would read Acts 1:8? And he also tells us why God gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody? Beryl? Definitely a command. Ye shall be. That's a command. Amen. Ye shall be witnesses. He's not saying it's an option. He's not saying you might be. He's saying you shall be. After that, I give you the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's look at some other ones in the New Testament. Romans 1:15-16. And then 1 Corinthians 9:16. And make sure we have a good handle on this very important commandment. To witness for Christ. So who would read Romans 1:15-16? Mr. Scott?
So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 9:16-22. Somebody read those two verses for us. 1 Corinthians 9:16-22. Jackie?
For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some.
That I might by all means save some. And then 1 Corinthians 10:33, a very similar theme. Who would read that? We're to witness for Jesus. That's the second commandment. Isn't that interesting? Follow Christ and witness for Christ. That encapsulates a lot, doesn't it? So who would read 1 Corinthians 10:33? Someone else go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Beryl? I please all men and all things for what ultimate purpose? That they might be saved. And then 2 Corinthians 5:20. Who would read that? Someone else turn to Philippians 2:15-16 while someone's reading 2 Corinthians 5:20. Any volunteers? Beth?
Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
We are ambassadors for Christ. That's one of our assignments, if you will. And then Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Philippians 2, 15, 16. Okay.
That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of the crooked and the perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain.
So notice we're to shine. Remember Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men. We get to Philippians and Paul says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. How do we shine? By holding forth the word of life. And then 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8. Somebody read those two for us. Someone else go to 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. So 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8. Any volunteers to read those two verses? 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8. Thank you, Howard.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We're commanded to not be ashamed of the gospel. And then 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. Encapsulating what the servant of the Lord is to be busy doing. Who would read those three verses? 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. Thank you, Beryl. So, notice it says, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's us. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. That's what the servant of the Lord is supposed to do. Be apt to teach others the gospel. Then 1 Peter 3:15 and Jude 23. So somebody turn to 1 Peter 3:15. And someone else read Jude verse 23 for us. And that'll be commandment number two. Howard, 1 Peter 3:15.
Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Be ready always. That's a good commandment, isn't it? Be ready. Be ready for what? To share the gospel when somebody asks. Be ready. And then Jude 23. Jackie?
And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
How do we save people with fear? Tell them they're going to hell. That's something to be afraid of, isn't it? To go to hell. And they're going to hell. The Bible says we're all sinners and we deserve to go to hell. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus paid the price for our sins, rose again, and offers us eternal life if we'll trust Him. And then we'll be saved from those consequences. So I know that's quite a long list, but that's a beautiful commandment. Shine for Jesus, witness for Jesus, as He says in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses. That is our command. So the first command, follow Christ. The second command, witness for Christ. That's two. Not too bad for a half hour. I'll introduce the third one because it's kind of an obvious one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So I'm just going to focus on the beginning part. Thou shalt not kill. We all know that's one of the commandments. It is one of the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament. It is number 6 of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. And it is repeated in the New Testament multiple times. I didn't think we needed to do an in-depth study on that one. We know that murder is wrong and that murder is forbidden by Jesus Christ. But I will read a couple of verses. Romans 13, 9, Paul says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. So Paul repeats again the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And James 2:11, for he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. And 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a murderer. Well, there's a clear command. And then 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Uh-oh. That's a little bit deeper, isn't it? And we just saw it in Matthew, where Jesus says to hate our brother is the equivalent of murder to the Lord. He said that, right? There in Matthew chapter 5. Whosoever is angry with his brother shall be without a cause, it shall be in danger of the judgment. But John says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So we'll be talking more about that when we get to the love thing. But thou shalt not kill is commandment number 3 as they appear. Any questions or comments? We made it all the way through Matthew 5. Actually, to Matthew 5, because next week will be also in Matthew 5, which is number 4, forgive. Think that one will take a little while? Any questions about the first 3? Follow Christ, be a witness for Christ, and don't murder. It's just the order they appear. Anybody? This is going to be